This is something that's a little uncomfortable for me, but I really felt like the Lord told me to do this, and so I'm going to do it anyway. How about that? When God tells you to do something, you do it. That's at least for me. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an introduction to myself. And the reason I don't like this is because I usually don't like talking about myself. I don't mind talking about you. I just don't like to talk about myself. And so anyway, I'm going to try to give you a small introduction because I don't know. Everybody probably has seen me because I do the announcements up here, but you still don't mean you know who I am. So anyway, there we go. My name is Travis Wofford. I am on the pastoral staff here at Life Changer Church. I'm currently on the board for Pastor Ted and serve in that capacity. And I'm the newest board member. I'm the baby in the group. And so just started last year sometime, October, November. Well, it hadn't been that long ago. Really new to the board. So I've been serving on that here since then. I used to be the youth pastor in this church, and I've served in youth ministry for over 18 years total. I was a youth pastor here in this church for about 8 years. And so then I turned that over to Steve Thomason, who was up here doing the prayer earlier, and then he's since turned it over to Craig, who was doing the offering. So we've got three generations of youth pastors that you had on the stage today. Amen? That's awesome. That is a good thing, by the way. That is a good thing. And David's worked in our youth department. He helped me for a little bit. And so, absolutely, it's been a great thing to serve in this church. And so I've served in that capacity in this church and in other areas, soundboard, different things like that. And so God, about, I don't know the year, and so I'm not even going to try to lie to you, some years back, Pastor gave me a word, and it was not a pleasant time in my life. We'll leave it at that. Pastor gave me a word that one day I would be preaching in front of people. And not in my wildest dreams did I ever believe that that would be in this church. My dreams was that God was going to train me up in the youth department and he was going to send me off somewhere else. And I would get that experience somewhere else. That actually happened, not permanently, but I did get to preach at Jinx Free Will Baptist Church. Not long after Pastor gave me that word. And so no offense to any Free Will Baptist, but that was really awkward for me. I was raised Southern Baptist, and so I knew absolutely nothing about the Free Will Baptist. I just happened to be teaching high school math in their school, and so therefore I got an invitation to preach. And I definitely was not Free Will Baptist. Don't know anything about them, still don't know anything about them. I just taught math in the school. You don't have to teach Free Will Baptist religion when you're teaching math. And so, you know, just didn't learn anything. So anyway, I got that opportunity. Then we moved back to Claremore into Life Changer Church, and Pastor Ted has given me several opportunities to preach behind this pulpit. And the reason I bring that up is God wants us to remember his greatness. He does. He wants us to remember his greatness. He wants us to remember the things that he has done for us, not so we can boast or brag or be nervous about telling you about yourself up here on the pulpit like I am, but so that we can understand where God is moving in our lives and what he's doing in our lives. Because from time to time we get these blinders on and we think God's not doing anything. And so we kind of get these blinders on and we don't see the big picture. Because we're looking right in front of us. You know, I don't know if any of you guys are horse racers or not, but there's some thoroughbreds that are running, especially the longer distances, and the horses will get distracted. They have ADHD for horses, I guess, okay? But they'll get distracted, and they'll see the other horses on the right and the left of them, and they won't focus on the finish line, okay? They'll see this other horse, it'll startle them, or I don't know what it does to them, okay? I'm not a horse person. I just know this is to be true. But they'll put these blinders on them, where they can't see anything else. Boy, that makes it echo when I stick my hands up there, doesn't it? They can't see anything else except for the finish line straight in front of them. So when that jockey is hitting them saying go, all they see is straight in front of them in the finish line, and so they're running. Now, they do that for a purpose, okay? But sometimes we get those blinders, and we can't see what's going on around us, and so it's important for us to remember what God has done for us. Amen. Or is doing for us. I bring this up because, for several reasons, it actually ties into my lesson, believe it or not. But I bring this up because my wife sent me an email Thursday. Not unusual. She sends me emails all the time. But she sent me an email Thursday. And I can't remember the title of it, but it said, read this. Okay, FYI, whatever. So I read this email, and she had listed about 25 things that God had done for our family. Awesome. Just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, number order. Nothing fancy, just here you go, here's a list. And I'm sitting there reading that thing, thinking, wow, God has done a ton of stuff for our family. What a blessing it is to serve the Lord. And so as I'm reading this email, I go back and I've got notes that are in black and I've got notes that are in blue, so I obviously grabbed a different pen, okay? So I go back and make edits to my notes. So if I combine two sermons into one, you're just going to have to forgive me. How about that? Okay? So there's my prerequisite. And a couple of other things, just some little house cleaning deals. I'm going to say the word the church a lot today, or us. We, and I'm not talking just about Life Changer Church. It definitely applies to us. We are in the church. But when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about God's group of believers. So this applies to all of us. And we're certainly in that category. But I'm going to say that a lot. I don't want you to get offended. I'm not saying that Life Changer Church has all these problems. I'm just saying this is a new way to think of it. And we're definitely in the mix. So I might say the church a lot. And I might use the word culture. Culture means a lot of things to a lot of different people. But basically, the definition of culture that I'm going to be using today is doing things the way that we've always done things. That's our culture. It's affected by several different things. First of all, it's affected on where you were born, how you were brought up, your parents, and how they believed. That has formed one form of your culture. Then there's a secondary form of your culture, and that's what you've learned since you've moved out on your own. So you have a primary culture, and you have a secondary culture, and in business, they will teach you that this is a true statement. When you start in business as a manager or any kind of a leader in business, you have a preset, prerequisite notions on how things are supposed to work. And then you've went to college, and you've got a bachelor's degree in business management, so now you have a secondary belief system, and your primary and your secondary will somewhere line up to form your new culture that you're in right now. And it's an ever-changing culture. As you learn more things, it changes. And so we're going to be talking about that today. So I just want to give you the perspective that I was talking about culture in. The title of my sermon is, We Get to Serve. We get, G-E-T, to serve. For so many years, I grew up in a church. My dad raised me in the church. I do not have a memory of not going to church. And that was through several churches. My dad was a school teacher. And so, actually, let me back up. By the time I was born, I was a 9-year late baby. I was not a mistake. You can ask my mom. She will tell you that I was not a mistake. And I believe that. And I will always believe that. I was a blessing in disguise. And so, and my mom will verify that. And if you don't believe me, I eat lunch with my mom every day at 11:30. You're welcome to join me, and she will tell you that I'm a blessing in disguise. And there's no worries about it. I don't even have to worry about it. When you show up, she's going to tell you. I'm the best thing since sliced bread because my mom loves me. Okay? And so it will happen, I promise. So anyway, my dad was through moving at the point, sort of through moving, teaching when I came along. But I do remember that he was not 100% done. And as a school teacher, any of you guys that are school teachers, you know that from year to year, you don't know that you're going to have a job in that particular school system, and or you may find a better job at another school system. And that just kind of goes with teaching, okay? It's just part of it. Sometimes teachers stay, but sometimes they move around a lot. Well, anyway, when I was young in kindergarten, the school that my dad was the superintendent of closed down. It was one of the small schools out in the country, and it was no longer making money, and so the state of Oklahoma shut it down. So therefore, we moved several times thereafter until my dad retired in Claremore. Not Claremore Schools, he was teaching at Sequoia, but we were living in Claremore, and that's how I ended up in Claremore. So just so you know, my dad moved me here, and I never left. It's a good thing, too. I met Laura here, so that was a positive thing. We get to serve. Let's read a scripture together. Now, also, another conviction that we got going on here today is God told me to break out the old school Bible. And so I've been reading out of my phone for so long that you guys are going to have to be a little patient with me. I got these fancy little markers, so we'll see if they work or not. And so we're going to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and following. Now, I'm trying to prerequisite my sermon here, but we get to serve. Not we've got to serve. We get to serve. So here's the words in Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand side throne of God. Father, I just pray that the words that you've put in my mind, the vision, the direction that you're wanting me to go today, Father, I just pray that, Father, you help me articulate that. Father, I just pray that it's not my words, but it's your words. Father, that the things that you're wanting me to share with Life Changer Church, Father, this penetrates and gets in there. We just ask that your word be like a marination, Father, that we soak in it and think on it and meditate in it daily so we can understand it more clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a key phrase in there. Is that still up there? Thank you, Jonna. I want you to look at this key phrase. Okay, now this is talking about Jesus Christ going to the cross. Okay, are we all on the same page here? Read that sentence up there. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, not out of commitment, not out of, yes, obedience, but he didn't put that in there, obedience. He did obey. Not out of commitment, not out of, oh my gosh, I got to save these lousy people. Not out of any of that. Read that. It says, out of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus Christ, our wonderful final example, says, I get to serve. I don't have to serve. I get to serve these people. I want to read that to you in the message. I know I told you I wasn't going to read off my phone, but I couldn't resist. Do you see what this means? All the pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No sin. Keep your eye on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. He did it just like we're doing it. He began it, he finished it. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish, and with it, God, he could put up with anything along the way. He could put up with the cross, the shame, whatever. And now, here is there in the place of honor, right alongside of God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over this story again, item by item. That long literary of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your soul. We get to serve. Now, I say this because, interesting that we had this example yesterday, Mike. Very interesting how God works. Mike and I were cleaning up and talking and doing different things after the men's breakfast yesterday, and I don't even know the guy's name, Mike can tell you. But this gentleman walked up to us and said to us that he drives in from Turley, is that right? He drove in from Turley to our men's breakfast, which is not real far, but it's in North Tulsa. But anyway, he drove into our breakfast, and his comment was, I come to this men's breakfast because it gives me a refill. Hallelujah. That I need. And Mike immediately come up to me and he goes, did you need to hear that today? And I said, yes, I did. Because there's several guys that help us, but there's a handful of guys that we show up at 6 o'clock in the morning and we start preparing this breakfast for an 8 o'clock service. And sometimes, can I be honest? Is that okay with you guys? Okay. Sometimes we show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, we cook a bunch of food, we serve, we sweat, we stand out in the rain, sleet, and snow, and 10 guys show up. I'm just being honest, okay? Can you guys stay with me for just a second? And it gets frustrating because it's like, I did all this work. I did all this service. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I've got 30 other things I can be doing at my house. And I feel like I've got to serve. I have to serve. Oh, it's a chore. It's work. No, no, no. The guy comes to be refilled. I get to serve. Because I have something to offer. I'm a blessing. Yes, it's only cooking bacon and eggs and potatoes, biscuits and gravy, but I get to serve because I'm a blessing to a fellow brother. Service, number one point. I know if I preach, pastor's going to want me to do an outline, and so I did an outline. I'm obedient. Service is not about duty. Service is not about duty. Here's my comment. We will wear ourselves out. We will physically, mentally, and spiritually wear ourselves out if we have the wrong mindset.
That's right.
We will exhaust ourselves. Here's a comment that was made, and I should have wrote it down. I'm in college. I'm supposed to give you who writes everything. I have to do this for a class, and so I cannot believe I didn't do this. I'm wanting to say it was Thomas Jefferson, and I'm probably wrong, but anyway, this is who said it because that's who I can think of. I'm pretty sure this is Thomas Jefferson, okay?
That's nice, Trav. That's a good
one. All right. Anyway, he gets credit for it. Only successful people will ever want to quit. I had to think about that. Think on that for just a second. Only successful people will ever want to quit. If you're not doing anything successfully, you have nothing to quit. Okay? If I'm not making an impact on somebody or work, or if I'm just lazy, well, sure, I don't want to quit because I'm getting a free paycheck for doing nothing. So why quit? But when I show up to work and I have to battle through, when I show up at a son's ball game and I have to endure people making dumb decisions and parents not cooperating like they're supposed to, coaches not doing what I think they need to do, referees that need a new pair of glasses, when I have to show up and do all that stuff, I have to battle through some certain things in order to be a good parent. And so I can't quit being a parent if I'm not a parent. You understand what I'm saying? Successful people are the only ones that ever want to quit. So when we're serving and we're serving and we're like, I cannot work in that nursery any longer. That's your sign that you're doing something right. That's not when it's time to quit. That's when it's your time to say, I'm actually accomplishing something here. When I'm cooking the men's breakfast and I'm exhausted, it's 8 o'clock, I don't even feel like eating. I just want to go home. Our last men's breakfast that we had were, I hate when I tell on myself. Golly, Mike, you're supposed to stop me from this. Our last men's breakfast, when we had a combined men's breakfast where we had all the ladies, husbands, wives, family, kids, everybody in there, it was awesome. Okay, don't get me wrong. But I got mad and I left. I was angry I left. Me and my son, we went to Brahms and ate. I'm just telling you the truth. I was angry. And it was nothing you guys did. It was something I did. Because I planned, you know, I mean, we normally have about 40 guys, and so I doubled it to about 80. And you guys showed up, and there was like 100 of you. Well, how many know when you cook food for 80 and there's 100 show up, you're going to run out of food? I just got to tell you, Brother Jumper had a biscuit with jelly on top of it, and that was his entire breakfast. Because he's busy serving, so he's the last one through the line. And so that was it. He got grape jelly and a biscuit. Not biscuits with an S, a biscuit. One that he split open and put jelly all over it like gravy. I never seen that much jelly on a biscuit, but it was on there. He might have even went in the microwave and tried to melt the jelly. I don't know. But anyway, that was all we had. There was nothing else. There wasn't no go in the refrigerator, get more biscuits. I cooked them all, and they were all gone, every one of them. And there was people in the audience that didn't even eat by choice. Steve was there. He'd already eaten his breakfast, his little power bar or whatever it is he eats. And so there was one less plate.
Thank you, brother.
I'm just saying, there's one less plate I didn't have to contend with. And so we get through with all that, we get through with all that, and it's like, I got to quit. I can't do this breakfast anymore. Mike didn't hear me, but I told him, I'm done. This is the last breakfast I'm cooking. I'm done. I think I told Brian out loud. Brian just ignored me. And so, you know, we get to serve. We get to serve. We don't have to serve. We don't got to serve. This is not a job coming and serving the Lord and His people. This is, we get to serve.
There you go.
Amen. I'm glad we can have fun in the house of the Lord. Does anybody remember, help me remember this. It was either Lowe's or Home Depot. They had their uniforms, those vests, you know, they wear that let you know they're an employee. They had these uniforms, and maybe it was another store. I thought it was there. Maybe it was Target. Jonathan's not here. Lowe's. Yeah. Well, on the back of their vest, it says, how may I serve you? Or how can I help? Maybe that's what it said. How can I help? And they're walking all over the store, and they got these vests on. How can I help? That's the attitude we ought to have when we walk in the church.
Absolutely.
How can I help? What can I do to serve my brothers and sisters? You know, in Corinthians, I'm not going to read this. I gave all these scriptures to John, and then here I am not even going to read it. But in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about that we all have different gifts. You know, some of us have the gift of prophecy, and it says in 1 Corinthians, at least in my version that I'm reading, if you prophesy, then you prophesy the best you can prophesy. If you're a giver, then you give it all. If you are a preacher, then you're supposed to preach. If you're an evangelist, you're supposed to evangelize. You're supposed to do it with everything you got. And it also says in there, if you're a server, then serve with all your heart. Right in the mix of all them scriptures. We get to serve. Point number two. I didn't even look at the time. Do we even know what time it is? Pastor is always concerned with time. I got plenty of time. I know pastor's like, you know, 11:30. I said, yes, sir.
What's point one again?
Yeah, point one is service is not about duty. Service is not about a duty. Okay, so number two. The journey is not just an endurance race. This one really struggled with me too. Because I've always been taught that my journey as a Christian is an endurance race and I need to finish. I mean, that's kind of the way I was taught. Now, I don't know if anybody told me that. That's just the way that's my perception of what I was taught. That life, Christianity, was a journey. Just finish the thing. We won. Jesus died on the cross. We got the victory. So just finish. Finish strong. That's what I've always been. Yeah, with a smile on my face, finish. And so when I read this, I'm like, man, I struggle with this. I almost took this point out. Journey is not just an endurance race. It might be, it is a journey, it is an endurance race, but it's not just an endurance race. And in our perspective here, when we're talking about serving is if I think about this, if it's just an endurance race, if that's all it is, okay, so let's think about this. If it's just an endurance race, then I've got my eye on the finish line and I'm not seeing anything else. It took me a while to figure this out. I'm not a dumb person. I had to marinate on this one. This one really got to me, point number two. Because if we're focused, so let me just give you an example. Maybe that'll help you because it helped me. So if my only goal in life is to show up at Life Changer Church and work in the nursery, that's it. That's my endurance. I'm going to finish the race. And there's nothing wrong with that. Please do not hear me say that, okay? But there's a church in Tulsa, Grace Fellowship. They got a huge nursery. Things bigger than our church, the nursery itself. They put all their money in that nursery. Boom, it's huge. Actually, somebody donated the money, and so that's what they get. But there's a picture on the wall. If you ever, and I don't know that you'll ever see it, you have to be a nursery worker in Grace Fellowship in order to see this. And I actually worked there for a little while. I was not a nursery worker. I was on the janitorial staff and security staff, and so I was able to get inside hallways and stuff that most people don't walk. But anyway, back by the children's pastor's office, right outside of his office, there's this huge picture of this older lady. And I mean, it's probably, I don't know, 10 foot wide by 5 foot tall. It's a huge picture, all blown up and everything. And she's sitting in a rocking chair, and there's probably 500 people around her. From an infant, newborn baby, all the way up to somebody that looked like they were in their 50s. And so when you read the encaption, this woman that's sitting in the rocking chair held every one of them in the nursery. Four generations where she had served in that nursery and held all these babies. So these 500 people have all been through the nursery at Grace Fellowship at one point or another in their lives, or had kids in there or whatever. But she had touched all these generations through, you know, she was even at the old church before they built the new one. And so she had touched physically with her hands in a nursery all these people that were in the picture. And they named this hallway after her. This was the Susan Johnson hallway. And I mean, it was immaculate. It's the prettiest hallway I've ever seen in my life. And this picture was right there, so everybody that walked by this hallway would remember that you're not just in there as a nursery worker. You're in there impacting lives. And so I'm sitting here thinking, this is not just an endurance race, but then I think about her, and I'm like, okay, this was an endurance race. She stayed in one thing, and she focused, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm confused on this point. This is not just an endurance race. This is what he told me. If that's my only focus, and that's not a bad focus, don't hear me say that, but if that's my only focus is to come in this building and serve, then I'm not seeing the whole picture. I might have some endurance here where I'm faithful to Life Changer Church, and I am, and I'm going to stay here and serve, and I'm a servant to Pastor Ted, and when he needs something, I'm jumping on it and I'm doing it. That is one of my goals, and I love that goal, and I serve Pastor Ted with all my heart. I love him. He's been a spiritual father to me. And so that is one of my goals. But if I don't go and do this same thing at Central Lift, I'm missing it. I'm missing it. If I don't do this same thing, I'm sorry, John, I cannot stand still. If I don't do this same thing at Walmart, I'm missing the point. If I don't do this same thing at Warehouse Market, I'm missing the point. There's a church in California where this young man who is not on staff at the church, he goes to church. He's not their college and careers pastor. He's not anybody. He's a pew sitter at a church in California. He goes into Walmart, and God tells him to pray for this lady in a wheelchair, and he starts praying for her, and she gets up and starts walking. He's a nobody in this church. He sits on a pew every Sunday morning. And this lady gets out of her wheelchair, and so she's starting to tell everybody. The wheelchair's sitting there. The guy from Walmart gets on the intercom and says, "There's healing on aisle 7. And people from all over Walmart come in this store, and so everybody's like, "Oh man, this guy's a pastor at the church." And so they're asking him, "What do you do at the church?" "Nothing. I go to church there." He's serving his community. He gets to serve. He doesn't have to serve. It's not an obligation because he's a pastor of the church. It's not an obligation because he's a paid volunteer. It's not an obligation for nothing. He's a member of the church, and he sees a need in Walmart. He's serving his community. He gets to serve. Amen. Telling you, it's a mind switch. Our culture tells us, man, I hate this. Our culture tells us that we cannot associate with anybody that can't get inside these four walls. I'm sorry, but that's what our culture tells us. And whether you believe it, whether that affects you personally, it is in your culture as a Christian. Now, you may have overcome it, and I hope so. I've watched Peter go witness in strange places, and so he's overcome it. But even Peter the other day when we were having a meeting told me himself that he gets nervous when he does that. Why does he get nervous? Because that's against the culture of the church. And so he's doing something outside the box. Now, he goes ahead and does it, okay? He's not stopping. But the fact that he has nerves when he goes up and witnesses at McDonald's or Warehouse Market or wherever it is he does it, the fact that he has nerves tells me right away that he's doing something outside his culture. Because our culture is very comfortable. I can pray for you inside this building, and I promise you I will not get nervous. Today, when I call an altar call, if you need me to pray for you, there's altar ministers that will do this, but if you want me personally to pray for you, I'm on it. And I won't think twice about it. I won't be nervous. I know what to do inside this building, but when somebody at Central Lift asks me to pray for them, I get nervous. And I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. I don't know what language to use. Sitting in a cube where everybody can hear me. Because it's outside my culture. So if we're going to learn this serving thing, that it's not an endurance race, not just an endurance race. Let me correct my English here. This journey that's not just an endurance race, we have to learn to see outside the blinders and be willing to chase some rabbits from time to time. Yes, I'm just a nursery worker at Life Changer. Why am I picking on the nursery for? I'm just a sound man at Life Changer Church. But I know, sorry guys, I was tired of picking on the nursery workers. I'm a sound technician at Life Changer Church. But when I see an opportunity at work, I'm not going to be a sound man any longer. I'm going to be a minister of the gospel. So I'm going to come off my endurance race, and I'm going to take a little 100-yard meter dash against Usain Bolt, and I'm going to outrun him. And then as soon as I'm done, I'm going to come back to my endurance race, and I'm going to run sound on Sunday morning. Make sense? We get frustrated when we keep looking. Stepping on toes here. We get frustrated when we continue to look for others to serve us. I'm telling you, if you wait on me to serve you, you will be frustrated because I'm going to mess up. I'm sorry. I try. I promise I try very hard. I didn't want to leave the breakfast in May. I wanted to come in and enjoy it and eat with everybody. My wife was out of town, so that was another excuse why I left, but it's still just an excuse. I wanted to sit down with Brian and Reba and have dinner or breakfast. But instead, I was waiting on others to serve me, and I got frustrated. Boy, that'll curl your toes. 1 Corinthians, I am going to read this one. 1 Corinthians 9:24. I'll be mad at myself if I don't read all these scriptures I looked up. 1 Corinthians 9:24. This is one of my favorites, by the way, in case you needed to know that. I used to coach basketball, so I use this all the time. It is one of the reasons it's my favorites. It says, 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that in a race, that all runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may obtain it, the prize. Every athlete exercises self-control, and in all things they do to receive it, a perishable wreath, but we are imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating in the air." And this is my favorite part, verse 27. "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I would also be disqualified." The reason that is so meaningful for me is because I grew up in an athletic setting, and so everything in my life is in the perspective of athletics. That's my culture, is athletics. And so my dad, every lesson I learned was based around athletics of some form or fashion. And so, unfortunately, my kids had to go through that same endurance of listening to me talk about athletics. It's just been a big part of my life. I enjoy it. It's one of the things I love. But one of my biggest pet peeves in athletics is this old saying that says, "Practice makes perfect." It's actually, it's been stated, probably by myself, that I'm going to put something similar to that on my headstone when I die. But it's going to be in my own words instead of that. Instead of "practice makes perfect," my headstone's going to say, "Perfect practice makes perfect." Because here's why. JR has done some painting, and I've actually worked with JR. If you don't know what you're doing, you can practice painting all day long. You can slop paint. I can take a bucket and just throw it and call that painting. So I can practice my throwing technique all day long, and I can get really good at it. But I can practice and practice and practice and practice, but if I'm not practicing correctly, I'm never going to learn correctly. Okay? Does that make sense? And so, I like the word "perfect practice makes perfect." Paul, in his letter here, where he says a boxer doesn't beat in the air, I'm not a boxer, okay? I can't go there with you on sports analogies. But boxers don't just punch the air. They punch these big, heavy bags. I've actually punched one and almost broke my hand one time. I don't even know how much them things weigh. They're heavy, though. they're supposed to resemble when you punch that bag, it feels like I'm punching another human being, is what it's supposed to symbolize, okay? And so they'll hit that bag, and it builds up all kinds of things, okay? This is all pretty much assumptions on my part because I'm not a boxer. So if I say something wrong and you guys are, correct me, please. But the bag is to represent building up strength, arm strength, resistance, feeling that like it's like you're actually in a boxing match and you're hitting something. If you're just doing this, you're going to throw a muscle out. I mean, correct? I mean, if you're just punching in the air, it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I can punch real fast in the air, but when I have to hit something that has some resistance to it, and, you know, and actually it feels like it's almost hitting back to me and it kind of jars me a little bit, I have to build up some endurance to that. That's what Paul's referring to here. I didn't know they had boxers back in that time, but apparently they did. But regardless of that, any athletic thing you do, you've got to train correctly. My son ran track this year, and he was a senior, and so they talked him into running track because he's really fast. Well, they throw him out there first track meet, and they're asking him to get down in those blocks, those starting blocks, those metal things. He's never even been shown how to use them. And so he can't run out of the blocks when no one's even showed him, you know, because those things, you put them in the ground, and you got to have them the right distance from the line, and you can't have your body too far stretched or not stretched enough. You'll fall over when you first take off. Well, if you don't learn that, you can't use those things. And so when he goes out there, he's like, I'm not using those. And so he stood up and did his start from the standing position because no one showed him how to use those blocks. Well, then over some time, you know, throughout the season, then they taught him how to use those blocks. And I don't know the exact numbers, but throughout the season, he changed his time by learning new techniques. He improved his techniques. So he perfected a skill and then was able to use it to be more perfect. This is the same thing we got to do. We can't just show up and serve inside this building and expect to... Boy, that sounds so bad. Help me, Lord. We cannot just show up in this building and expect to learn everything we need to know. Good. Did I fumble that?
No. Well, good.
If this building is everything I've ever learned, then I'm not learning everything.
Amen. That's good.
Okay? I've got to go out and get in the blocks and learn how to share Christ outside these four walls.
That's right.
I've got to go out and learn how to serve outside these four walls.
Get involved in outreach.
There's a church in Broken Arrow, and I'm blank on the pastor's name. I actually worked with him at Grace Fellowship. He was one of Pastor Yin Yin's prodigies that came out of Grace Fellowship. Anyway, he took over a church in Broken Arrow called Destiny Church. And I somehow got hooked back up with him on Facebook, and I don't know. But anyway, I keep in contact with him.
Goldsbay.
Mike Goldsbay, thank you. And I worked security for him when I was at Grace Fellowship, and yeah, they had security for their youth pastors. I should have done that for Steve. Maybe I need to do that for Craig, I don't know. But anyway, I followed him around everywhere, and yeah. This guy's like, okay, let me take a sidetrack here. This guy's like 6'4", okay? You know, and I'm not even 6, but anyway, he's like 6'4", and he works out in good shape. And here I am, 5'9", out of shape. But anyway, I'm in security, okay? This is awesome. And so, yeah, do I have time for this sidetrack? I do. I'm gonna do it. Okay, so anyway, we have Jeremy Camp come in and lead worship for the youth one night. You guys know who Jeremy Camp is?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, but this is wrong to say this in church, but that man's huge. I mean, he works out. His arms are bigger than my legs. So, yeah, I mean, he's a monster. He works out all the time, and he's one of those bodybuilder kind of guys. Anyway, I'm working security for Goldsbay and Jeremy Camp. And I'm like, this something's wrong with this picture. Anyway, let's get back on track. So when Mike moved over to Destiny Church in Broken Arrow, he started this thing, and they're doing it once a month on a Thursday. They hand out these little letters to everybody in their congregation, and you're supposed to go through the drive-thru between Thursday and Sunday. You're supposed to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, Arby's, wherever you eat, Chick-fil-A. And you're supposed to go through there, and you're supposed to see the car behind you, and you're supposed to go up to the counter, and you hand the lady your money, $20 for your food, and then you hand them this letter with another $20 bill in it, and you say, that letter and that $20 bill applies to that car behind me. Can you give them this letter when they get to the counter? And the lady will say, well, it's only like $10. Give them the letter and the change. when they pull up to the window to pay. You go get your food, you drive off, the next car comes up, she holds out her 20, the lady in Arby's goes, that guy in front of you said to give you this letter and this change, and she opens the letter and she said, and the letter just simply says, have a blessed day from Destiny Church. We get to serve. You know, we're doing our outreach here at Life Changer Church. And, you know, we've only done three of them. But I stand back. I run the sound, and Jake and I run the sound and MC the events. And so we kind of stand back, and we get to see the whole crowd. And we think about this, and we think it's hot. We borrow a trailer from Jim and Connie, and we haul it out there. We set up a cooker, and we set up tents and tables, and we do a lot of work. And so these people from the neighborhoods come in, and you're thinking, okay, that's wonderful. And then Craig has this God idea to call people up front to pray for people. And so he gets up there and is like, if you need prayer, come up front. And that's literally what he said. If you need prayer, come up front. He didn't preach. He just said, here they are. And we had probably 10 people come up front, not of Life Changer Church people. We're talking people in that community that we were serving, come up front and receive prayer. Yes. Right. We get to serve.
Right.
All right, here's my last point. We have to finish the race. We have to stay to the end. Acts 20:24 is going to be my last scripture. This is the Apostle Paul. And if you guys have ever studied, or I've taken New Testament survey not too long ago, and this was the professor that I had, this was his driving home point. So I'm blaming my professor for all this, even though I like it. This is the Apostle Paul when he had basically finished his ministry, and so he'd been in and out of jail, and he's going back to Jerusalem, and he knows when he goes to Jerusalem, it's done. He's going to die. So he knows when he leaves and heads to Jerusalem, he's going to die. He's done. So he's very aware of this. Okay, this is not a surprise to him that when he gets to Jerusalem that his ministry's over. He's either going to be in prison for the rest of his life or they're going to kill him. Okay, because they're hunting him already. And I don't have time to tell the whole story of Paul. That's a great sermon within itself if you tell the life story of Paul. But anyway, there's the story. Is he knows he's done. And so in verse 24... he goes through that whole story about how when he goes there, he's been in prison, afflictions, that even more imprisonment, more afflictions are awaiting me. But here's verse 24, but I do not account my life to have any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel and the grace of God. And now I behold and I know that none of you among you have gone about a praying kingdom will ever see my face again. He says right here, you know, I know what's before me, but I'm going to finish. And I'm going to finish strong. And if you read some translations of this verse, it tells you that while he's traveling to Jerusalem, he's still preaching the gospel. And then we know later on in Acts, he preaches it in Jerusalem, where he's later going to be imprisoned. So he never stops with the calling that God's given him, ever. Even when he knows he's going to die. Jesus himself was on the cross and led somebody to heaven while hanging on the cross. Now let's be honest, Jesus did not have to do that. He had done what he was sent to do. When he's hanging on that cross, that dude on the right and the left is no longer his problem. Okay? Let's be honest. He did what he was told to do. But yet, in the middle of what he was being told to do, out of his obedience to Christ, he led somebody to Christ. And said, today, you will be in heaven with me. We get to serve. I'm telling you, we've got to change our culture in the church. This is, I don't know why God chose me to talk about culture, and I really don't. But you know what? I'm okay with it because I'm usually pretty obedient. We've got to change our mindset, our culture, our attitude in church. For so many years, I went to church and it was just like strangers would walk in and they weren't welcome. I'm sorry, but I mean, let's be honest with each other here. There's an entire ministry in Tulsa that started out of the fact that churches would not accept certain people in their building. He built an entire ministry out of it. Because he's going around preaching the gospel and he's got tattoos and he looks like he needs to be in a gang. As he's going around preaching the gospel, he walks into every church and he realizes there's no one that looks like him in any church he goes to. And so he goes to Tulsa and starts his own church. At one point, they had a smoking section in their church. That will really mess with your theology. He had motorcycle rallies and kickboxing events and MMA, is that right?
Yes.
Mixed martial, yeah. MMA events in the church. Set an arena right in the middle of the church. Had people beating the snot out of each other. And then we moved the arena out of the way and we set up chairs and we worship God the next day. Figure that one out. But he found a niche in life that somebody wasn't reaching. And guys, I'm embarrassed to say, please don't hear me say what I'm not saying. I'm embarrassed to say that I belong to a church that would shun somebody. And I said when I said the church, I wasn't talking just about Life Changer, okay? Don't hear me say what I'm not saying. I'm embarrassed to say that I belong to a church, the church of Jesus Christ, that would shun somebody when my Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross with a robber and a thief and he led him to the Lord. I mean, come on. Whether I want a tattoo or I want to smoke or drink or whatever is irrelevant to whether somebody else wants to do it. And who am I to judge them? It's my job to serve them.
That's good.
I get to serve them. That's my goal is to serve them. I get to serve them. Because we all know, we've been at Life Changer long enough. Most of you guys have been here long enough. If you got a problem in your life, God will change it. Right. Just give Him some time. You don't need me to change it. I'm not your judge and jury.
Right.
Hear me? I'm not. I want to be. My culture tells me I have to be. But I'm not. That's God's responsibility, and I need to let Him do His job.
Amen.
My job is to share the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my only job.
Hallelujah.
We've got to change our culture. We've got to change our attitude. We've got to change the way we do business.
Yeah.
Pastor's been preaching about the lighthouse. The lighthouse does not warn itself from itself.
That's good.
The lighthouse is on and operating to serve other ships, saying there's rocks out here and you don't want to hit them. The lighthouse is not there for itself. And it's not there for other lighthouses. It's there to, we get to serve. So this is one of those marinating sermons. You got to soak on this because in order to change a culture, it takes all of us. You know, in Bethany, I mentioned them, in Bethany and yeah, please, thank you. At Bethany in California, when that gentleman walked in to the Walmart and raised the lady out of the wheelchair, you know why he did that? Because his pastor was bold enough, and I have no idea how he did this, but his pastor was bold enough to go outside the city limits there in California, Redding, California, and he put two fence posts and a sign that said, Redding, California, will be cancer-free this year. No one in Reading will have cancer this year. And put down at the bottom, Bethel Church. That's a bold statement. And so whatever he was preaching and talking about, his people got it. They changed their culture and they said, okay, I'll just start praying for everybody then. So lady in a wheelchair, why not? Obviously there's something wrong with her, so let's pray for her. And so he walks in Walmart and he prays for her. It takes all of us to change a culture. I can't do it. I won't do it. Trust me, I won't do it by myself. I'm a people person, and so if you guys aren't willing to go with me, I'm going to stay right there on the bench with you guys. I will. I'm a people person, and that's my personality. I'm not the type A, caloric, take over. I just don't do that. But if you guys go, I'll go. I play team sports. I don't play tennis. I try to play golf, but I still don't do that. But I play team sports where I can help win as a team. And I'm a member of a team right here. So I need every one of you. Our altar ministers are going to come up. Don't forget today our land offering. Our ushers are going to be standing by the back door. We do this. We collect an offering every month, and this pays off the land that we bought across the way over here. And so we got big plans for that land over there. We want to serve our community with that land over there. And so we do this once a month just to help pay that off. And once it's paid off, we'll go into phase two and start building some things or do different things. So don't forget about that. You know, Thomas Edison, when he was building the light bulb, said, many of life's failures come right at the edge of success. So this race we're in to serve others, a lot of times churches fail because we're out serving others and we're out doing outreaches, Craig, and we get right to the end to where we almost have a breakthrough and we quit because we don't feel like we're making success. And that's not just for Craig. We have to understand where we're going, what we're doing, and the accomplishments that God's given us. Just like that email my wife sent me, I told Craig the other day in our meeting, we have got to make a plan, write it down, and follow up. Because we're going to move forward with these outreaches. We're not happy. I'm happy. We're not 100% satisfied with four or five people coming to get in prayer. We want to reach an entire neighborhood with prayer. We want to heal an entire neighborhood. We want Clamore to be cancer-free. And we want to be bold enough to say, Life Changer Church, we're going to believe this for our city. We get to serve.